Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Today, I would like to welcome everyone who's listening in on our CD and our internet ministries. I'd also like to welcome everyone that is here today and wish you all a Happy New Year. Yay. I have announcements to make. A couple of announcements are one of them that I would get up and make anyways. The M&M offering, we achieved our goal. $411 is what we received, so I want to thank everyone in the congregation for that. So you'll see all of our lights are of a gold hue. Okay. Also, annual reports are due today. So I know Linda is not in the office today, but if you want to drop them in her box, she does have tomorrow off. So Tuesday would be the very latest to have those turned in. Then the other announcement that I really need to make is that after potluck next week, we will be taking down the greens. Connie has asked that anyone that would like to stay after potluck and help out would be greatly appreciated. Taking down is much quicker than putting up, so it won't take long. And she has also asked for any donations of the totes that you see that are sold at the store, the red or green or any color she'd like it, new or used. If you have any totes at home that are used and you've happened to empty them out, please bring them in. She wants to put the greens and the Christmas things into totes now instead of the boxes. The boxes are having a tendency to fall apart. So with that, I will ask you all to stand for the call or the call to gathering. Yeah. Without the choir, I'm a little confused. Okay. Come, people of God. Let us give thanks for these holy days of Christmas. Come, people of God, let us celebrate and rejoice for the wondrous gifts given to us. Now we again sing the joyous carols of Christmas and witness to our Savior's birth. The gathering hymn, Angels of Realms of Glory, and page 190 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we gather today to worship and praise you, we ask that you bless each and every one of us as we start this new year. We pray that this new year will bring your Son's words and teachings into our lives. Thank you for this day and all days as we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll turn to your neighbor for the passing of the peace.
Oh, are you back up yet?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to do this one? Introducing the hymn.
I was, but you can.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay.
Good morning. We want to welcome the Reverend Ron Compton, who is joining us this morning, and I was so grateful that he was available on a holiday. So, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I would invite you now to turn to page 700 in your hymnal as we reaffirm our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain, as far as possible, family and secret devotion, to teach our children the Christian truths, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Remembering that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, we shall endeavor to form and to follow habits which shall promote health of body, mind, and soul, both in ourselves and in others. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.
Is there any? If you can turn in your hymnal to Go Tell It on the Mountain for the children's sermon, if the children would like to come forward. I'm not sure that I see any children. Oh, okay, two. Okay. If the children would like to come forward, the page is 205 in your hymnal.
Sit down with you two. You might have to help me get up though, okay? Afterwards. My name is Ron, and your name is Evelyn Shemaya and Evelyn. You know what I like to do sometimes at night? I like to go outside and look at stars. Have you ever looked at stars at night? Yeah? Have you ever tried to figure out what some of the stars, all those stars up there, the shapes and so on, have you ever heard what a constellation is? You know what a constellation is? I wonder if any of these old people out here know what a constellation is. Any of you know what a constellation is? Are they like the Big Dipper? The what? Oh, and there always has to be one like that. Yeah. Constellations, they're, since long, 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 long time ago, way back when these people were young, the people way back long, long time ago would look up and they'd see all the lights in the sky and they'd make out different shapes. And I brought a couple of those shapes with me. Okay? This first shape is called Orion. You ever heard of Orion? Most likely not. Any of you ever heard of Orion?
Yeah.
Okay. When you look up at the up in the sky, there's some bright stars that kind of look like that. Now you look at that and you just go, whoop-de-doo. But what the people a long time ago, they called this the Hunter. And see, if you draw it like this. fell off. I'm not used to having something stuck to my ear. Would you like to put this back in my ear for me? No? Let's see here. Is it on my ear now? Still isn't, is it? How about that? Does that look right? I don't know if that's right or not, but it have to do for right this second. The hunter. They envision somebody up there. This is his belt. This is the thing for his sword. And you know what this is? A bow for a bow and arrow. So, maybe some night when there's a lot of stars out, you kind of want to look off towards the south, up in the sky, and you might be able to find Orion. You can have Orion. You want Orion? No, you don't want Orion? Would you like Orion? You don't want Orion, okay. Now, there's another one that's easier to find. It's called the Big Dipper. It looks like that. Looks like a big spoon. And then just above it is called the Little Dipper. And that star right there is called the North Star. That's the star that doesn't move hardly at all. All these other stars move around, but that one's always in the same spot. So this is the Big Dipper. If you follow these right straight up, you'll find the point of the Little Dipper. Either one of you want that? No, okay. Now you might be wondering, why did he bring up about these stars? Well, because there's a passage in Scripture. It's Psalm 8. And the guy who wrote this psalm liked to spend the night out looking at stars too. He took care of sheep up on the hillside, kind of like the shepherds did when Jesus was born. And this is what he wrote. Our Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have made, what are we people that you think about us, that you care for us? But then he goes on to say, but you made us just a little lower than you are, God, and you've crowned us with glory and honor. You've given us dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under our control, sheep, ox, beasts, birds, fish. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What I want us to remember from that, and I hope these old people out here already know this, is that when we look up at the stars and we see how big the sky is, it helps us to remember that the God who created all those stars up there and made all these different shapes is the God who created us. And he has a purpose and plan for each of our lives. So, your shirt right there says, Wish Upon a Star. And what does it say? It says, Dream, Wish. So just think of your t-shirt and that God has a dream and a wish for you. Okay? Thanks for coming down here. My Bible's falling apart. Can you see that? I'm falling apart. My earpiece fell off. You guys didn't want my stars. I'm going to go back up there. You want to go back to your seats? Okay, you can go back to your seats. Do I have this on right? I don't think so. Will you come help me, please? I need some help. Well, that was interesting. Time for us to receive our morning tithes and offerings. So if our ushers would please come forward. Lord, we thank you for being the Lord of our lives. We give these gifts of money to you, really not because you're poor and need it, but because you've given to us and invited us and created us to give to others. So, Lord, we ask you to take these gifts, use them to further your kingdom and to help this world be a better place. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to reflect on this past month of celebration, anticipation.
Thank you.
that last bit has words to it. You want to join me in welcoming our Savior into the world? All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing your praises, and I'll reign with you throughout eternity. Just try it again. Welcome, Jesus.
We come to our prayer time this morning, and I have a request here from Chris Lopez. A blessing of thanks. My sister Helen is doing great. Sounds like that's good news. That sounds like that's very good news. I invite you to bow your heads and we'll have a time of silence as we listen to the Lord to speak to our hearts, and then I will lead us in our pastoral prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When we look at the heavens that you've created, the moon and the stars that you've put in place, and we see the vastness of all of that, and then when we see the fact that you, the creator of all of that, that you are intimately involved in the creation of us as well, and then when we hear that you've given us a purpose in life, you've created us to be your partners in this creation and to care for this part of your creation, to care for one another. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. On this Sunday after we've celebrated Christmas, on this Sunday when we celebrate the beginning of a new year, we thank you for being the God of the past, for being the God of the present right now, and for being the God of that which is yet to come, most of which we have no idea what that will be. We lay the future at your feet. We lay today at your feet. We lay yesterday at your feet. We can't do anything about yesterday. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be. And for some of us, today is a day that we're happy that it's here. For some of us, it's a day that we're sad that it's here. For some of us, it's a day that's overwhelming us because it's here. For some of us, it's just another day that's here. But whatever, we thank you for being the God who's sufficient to help us past yesterday, to prepare us for tomorrow, and to sustain us today. So thank you, Lord. We join with Chris in this thanksgiving for Helen, and we celebrate the fact that you were the God not only who touched people way back then, but for you're the God who touches people today. And you're the God who will touch people tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good to be with you again. Always enjoy the opportunity to come and be with you folks. Your sanctuary looks really nice. How long does it take to put all this up?
All day.
All day. 2 hours.
2 hours.
Well, let me see. All day, 2 hours. I've had some days that 2 hours seemed like all day. I can understand that. How long does it take it all down?
Half hour.
It's always easier to tear something apart than to put it together, isn't it? Reminds me of something that Hey Guy once said. Yeah. I'd like to tell you a true story. It happened Friday night, just a few nights ago. I was home, I was done visiting the folks that I had to visit. Have you ever had one of those times where you think work is done? You've taken off your work clothes, whatever those clothes might be, you've put on your comfy clothes, whatever those clothes might be, and you're just going, ah, and then the phone rings. It don't answer, is that what you said? Yeah, well, I was on call, which meant when my work phone answered, I had to answer it. And they said, Ron, we know that you're on call for a certain area, but we need a chaplain to go to another area to see somebody who needs to see a chaplain. And with a big smile on my face, I took off my comfy clothes and put on my other clothes to try to look semi-professional. And with joy in my heart, or not really, got in the car and headed to see this person who we were told needed to see a chaplain. I got to the facility, went into the room to see somebody I had never seen before, and here is this little, frail, little great-grandma laying there in bed with a cup in her hand. It has a top on it and a straw coming out of it, and she's just lying there. I introduce myself to her. She introduces herself to me. And then we start, you know, playing the game of trying to get to know each other and, you know, trying to break the ice and all that kind of stuff. And as we talked, I realized, and she realized, she had met my grandmother a long time ago. She had taught one of my aunts a long time ago. My wife's dad had been her milkman a long time ago. You never know who you're going to bump into, do you? Even on those times where the phone rings and you really don't want to go. So we're there and we're talking a little bit, and then she says this to me. She looked at me and she said, Chaplain Ron, I've just been having a pity party day. Have you ever had a pity party day? She was just having a pity party day. Here she is, 95 years old, and she had been able to do all these things in her life, and now her life consists of lying in a bed, not being able to hardly feed herself, struggling to get the cup up high enough that she can get the straw in her mouth, then struggling to suck the liquid from that cup up into her mouth. She was just lying there. And as she said, she was having a pity party day. And I looked at her and I said, you know, every once in a while we have one of those, don't we? And then we just went on and talked about a few things. A pity party day. There's a passage in the Old Testament written by King Solomon when he was in a pity party stage of his life. It's a passage that's become pretty, well, famous. I mean, there is even a rock and roll group back in the 60s who used these words as a song that became a big hit, The Byrds. Any of you know the group The Byrds? A couple of you. You know the song Turn, Turn, Turn? Yeah. Do you know what passage that's from? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If that's in your Bible, would you turn to it? And you're saying, that's not what's listed in the bulletin. I know. We'll get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting with verse 1. King Solomon, when he wrote this, was in a pity party stage of his life. When you find the page number in your Pew Bible, shout it out so some of us can get there faster. 648. Thank you. Do I have a volunteer out there in the audience who'd like to stand and with your real loud voice read verses 1 through 15? Who's got a big mouth? Okay. Well, you read it very loud. Down to verse 15, if you would.
What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden of God has laid on them. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the heaven, hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him.
Include verse 15.
Okay. Whatever it has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account.
Now, you and I are used to listening to this in as it's been impacted by Christianity. When that passage was originally written, in fact, all of Ecclesiastes, it was in a time in Solomon's life where he had accomplished everything, had every woman he'd wanted to have, he had all the wealth he could possibly get, and life for him was, how did he say it? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. There is nothing new under the sun. Things happen in life. There's war and there's peace and there's singing and there's crying and there's you plant and then you harvest and then you build things up and you tear things down. And what does it matter? Everything that's ever happened is already going to happen again, and it's just nothing new under the sun. You might as well just eat, drink, and be merry. He was in a pity party stage of his life, where he'd come to the conclusion that nothing mattered. It didn't matter. God had set everything in motion. God was going to do what God was going to do. Eat, drink, and be merry all the days of your life. But then the question comes, what about when you can't do that anymore? Like the lady I was with Friday night. Food doesn't taste good to her anymore. In fact, her body is to the place where it doesn't want food anymore. So she really can't eat. I watched her. She tried to take a sip out of this cup. She could hardly get the cup up high enough to be able to get the straw to her mouth. And then she had to, with her mouth, try to find where the straw was. And once she got the straw in her mouth, she was almost too weak to suck anything up through the straw. Now, the fact that it was a milkshake didn't help at all. But here she was trying so hard. Eat, drink, and be merry. All she can do. And some of you have probably seen loved ones in this situation. All she can do is lie there in bed. She looks out the window. She had the TV on when I came in. When I left, she asked me not to turn it back on. What do you do when you can't eat, drink, and be merry anymore? When I was with her Friday night, you know, she's in the situation in life now where everything that happens in her life, somebody else plans it for her. And everybody, and they tell her when she's supposed to wake up, when she's got to try to eat breakfast. I mean, everything's planned out for her. It reminded me of a cartoon that we have in our office. And it's this little old grandma. She looks like she's about 150 years old. She's standing up and she's looking into the face of this young nursing home worker who's all, you know, bright and all that kind of stuff. And this is what the little lady is saying to the nursing care worker. Honey, I've lived through 2 world wars, the Great Depression. I've raised 7 children. I taught 3,251 elementary school kids. I've outlived 2 husbands. Now, honey, you're telling me when it's time to go to bed? Eat, drink, and be merry? Now I invite you to turn to the passage that is listed in the bulletin. Jesus one day told a parable that addresses this pity party times in our life. And I'm not saying you're in a pity party now, but I am sure that there will be a day, if it's not tomorrow, that you're going to have a pity party. Is there anybody here who's never had one of those days? If you raise your hand, I'm going to call you a liar. But Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is telling a parable. And I'm going to read it. I'm reading it from a different translation that is your pew Bible, and I apologize for that. But the parable goes like this. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothes. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you? A stranger welcomed you in, or naked and gave you clothes? When was it that we saw you in prison or sick and visited you? And the king will answer, well, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, the members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a sip of water. I was a stranger, you didn't welcome me. I was naked, you didn't give me any clothes. I was sick, I was in prison, you did not visit me. They will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for the one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, often when we look at this parable, we look at it in terms of, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you one who, when somebody's hungry, you give them something to eat? When you see somebody thirsty, you give them something to drink? Are you one who cares for others, or are you one who doesn't? That's typically the way we look at this parable. But what I want you to see this morning is there's something even more basic to this parable than that. This parable, the basis of the parable is this. Which were we created to be, sheep or goats? Let's take a poll. How many of you think we were created to be sheep? How many of you think we were created to be goats? You're right. We have been created to be sheep. In the children's sermon passage, you know, God, I look at all the stars, and that's so great, and I am so small, but then I realized you've created me with a purpose, a direction. There's something great for me. I'm part of something greater than me. We've been created to be sheep. That's who we are. We don't have to try to be sheep. We are sheep. Now I want you to practice. Are you ready? Say it with me. Meh. Are you ready? Let's do it again. Meh. We are sheep. We are sheep in God's pasture. We don't have to try to be sheep. We are God's sheep. That tells me this. We haven't been created just to work. We have been created with a vocation. We've been created to be part of something bigger than what we are. As this lady and I were talking, as we were talking Friday night, when I realized that she'd known my grandma, I realized that she knew that I came from a dairy farm. And we were talking about what it means to be a dairy farmer, other than having to get up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, go out and milk those stupid cows, and every afternoon about 5 o'clock, go back out into the barn and milk those same stupid cows, and go out and play in the stuff that cows produce other than milk, you know, and get that off the floors. And besides all of that, I was raised from the time I can remember realizing that when we went out there to milk those cows, we weren't doing it just for the cows. We weren't doing it just for us, because other people needed that milk. And when we went out and planted our fields, we weren't planting those corn seeds and those bean seeds and those sugar beet seeds to make a living just for us. We're planting those corn seeds because people that we would never meet needed corn to eat. People we'd never meet liked to eat navy beans. People we would never meet liked sugar on their cornflakes. A vocation. As I talked with this dear little lady who can no longer eat, drink, or party, she talked about that for many years she was a fifth grade school teacher. And she talked about all the different things that she remembered about some of her kids. Now, there's one of you I met this morning that you said to me, "I'm hard to forget," to which I said, "Yeah, that can be a good thing, or that can be a bad thing." This school teacher remembered some of her kids, some of them because they were such great shining stars, and then there were others that she could not forget either. And I don't know if she had taught 3,271 like that cartoon, but she talked about all the kids that she had, you know, taught. And then when she retired, you know what she's continued to do? She led 4-H groups. Now, how many of you know what 4-H is? Oh, my. And one of them was my aunt. And I looked at her, and I looked at this little lady, and I called her by name, and I said, "You know, once a teacher, always a teacher." She said, "Yeah, I guess that's right." Then I said, "It's in your blood, isn't it?" She said, "Yeah, it's kind of like the way God created me." Do you catch what she just said? Her life wasn't just about her eating, drinking, and being able to party. She had given her life as a vocation for others. This parable tells us that there's something in life more than just what Solomon said in his pity party stage. We've been created to be sheep. We have to go against who we are to be a goat. When we accepted Jesus as our Savior, He empowered us to be His sheep. We have to go against that to be a goat. You see, what a difference it makes in life when we realize we have a purpose and a plan greater than just us. As I was talking with this lady Friday night, she brought up that aunt of mine that she'd had in 4-H, and how in my aunt's family there had been a tragic suicide many, many years ago. And this lady said to me, she said, "You know, I know someone who had a suicide in their family." And she said, "The mother has never gotten over it." And as we talked about that, we kind of agreed that you probably never do get over something like that. But then she said this. That I was talking to that mom once, and the mom said, "I would not have made it through this without the Lord." It didn't take away what had happened. But you see, this woman had realized that the Lord gave her strength and grace to overcome that which cannot be overcome on your own. But she realized the Lord had given her more. The Lord had given her a reason to re-engage in life when it felt like everything in her life had been taken away. The Lord had created her with a purpose. The Lord had created her for a plan that was bigger than herself. And she was able to re-enter into life again. What I invite you to do tonight or some other night when there's no clouds, maybe you can get out of the city so the stars are brighter. I invite you to go out and look up at those stars And to remember, when you see those stars, the God who created all those stars has created you with a purpose bigger than yourself. To be part of a plan bigger than yourself. The Creator God who made you. So when you look up at the stars, you're either going to look up there and look at how vast the stars are and think, I'm just a person here on this little speck of dust and then I don't matter. Or you can look at all those stars and realize the God who created all of that has created you with a purpose and to be part of a big plan. So as we prepare for communion this morning, we, God's sheep, are being invited to come to the table, or in sheep's terms, the feeding trough, to receive from our Creator, our Shepherd, sustenance so we can go out and be part of His plan in this world. We're going to sing a communion hymn at this time. It's not the one that's listed in your bulletin, but we're going to sing 639, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. 639, as we prepare to receive communion this morning. The night in which Jesus was betrayed, he was at table with his sheep, with his disciples. And he said to them that he was going to be taken away from them. That was not good news. In the midst of that supper, he took some bread, and after he'd blessed it, he broke it and he passed it to them, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Eat, all of you." Then afterwards, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave that to his disciples, said, "I want all of you to drink from this cup, the cup of the new covenant. I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day we drink of this again in my Father's kingdom." So this morning we offer to you the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The body and blood of our shepherd. The body and blood of the one who gave his life for us, his sheep. Remember, we are not goats. We are sheep. We have a vocation. We have something that we are part of greater than ourselves. So at this time, we will prepare to serve you the bread.
Bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, please accept our thanks for this bread, a symbol of the body you gave for us to save us, to give us your kingdom forever. Amen.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for us to preserve us blameless, take and eat, remembering that he gave his life for you. We'll now prepare to serve you the cup.
Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, in a personal way, this is your little boy, Greg, down here. And just as we've been discussing today, last night I partied, this morning I pity partied. But yet, you've made a new covenant in your blood for me and for those here. And you've given us the remedy, you've given us grace. The grace that no matter what position our body is in, whatever strength we have or don't have, that we can give a twinkle of our eye, we can give a smile, we can give a word of encouragement, if nothing else. And we thank you for that grace that comes with this blood that is a new covenant of yours. Amen.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus, which was shed for us to preserve us blameless. Take and drink this in anticipation of the joy that we will have when we are with him in his Father's kingdom. Lord, we thank you today for this opportunity to be at your table, to be your sheep, to be your people, to be part of your eternal plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. Very nice message.